Well, praise the Lord. We are so blessed to have a speaker from Israel today. Amen. Some of you may know that Rodney and Rosemary and 32 others are in Israel today. They left Tuesday, and so God sent us a man to speak over here in his place. And we're so thankful for that. What a great opportunity it is to come together and worship and to have someone who has a heart for God and a heart for people. Our guest speaker today is actually a tour guide over there for some 22 years. And also he has had a church up in the Irving area for about 3 years at different times. But I love to hear his wife talk about him last night whenever she said he loves God, he loves to teach God's word, and he loves people. And so it's just a great joy for us to have Rami here today and his lovely wife, Gabrielle. And we are not going to worry about our time. We're going to worry about what God wants from Rami today. So, Rami, come, please.
Good morning. So good to be with you. So really good to be here. I really feel home in the first service, and now even better. I feel even more free. So thank you for your warm welcome. And you know, like I said in the first service, I said many things, but I will mention two of them. Number one, I don't promise to repeat what I said in the first service, because I want to be led by the Spirit. But mainly it will follow up with what I said in the first service, with new answers. And the other thing is that I am a miracle. Just the very fact that I stand here before you is a miracle. And you will understand it very soon when we get into the world, okay? A big miracle. Because, hello, Shelley and Chapel. Lovely friends from San Antonio. So good to see you. Where was I? I'm a miracle. You know, my people, the Jewish people, were dispersed all over the world. Yeah. And now Israel, where I come from, is consisting of well over 120 different nations. You know, Jews who came from Arab nations, Jews who came from Ethiopia, you know, black Jews, Africa, blonde Jews with, you know, blonde hair and blue eyes, Scandinavian Jews, name it. From all over the world we have Jews, and of course American Jews, yeah. So this is a miracle after 2,000 years of dispersion, and here is the second half of this beautiful family from San Antonio. So let's turn to Jeremiah 16. And we will begin there. I have my wife with me here, Gabush, please, Gabriella, Gabi. She's a wonderful artist, musician, worship leader, and I cannot without her. And really, she's my second and better half. So, Jeremiah 16. Together, by the way, we have four kids, and actually we are visiting here for our very first, the birth of our very first grandson, Eli, over there in Wichita Falls. So, yeah. And how come we are here? We met Kyle and his beautiful wife. Stand up, come on. Tara McAllister. And they brought a group with me. I mean, I guided them. A private group, tour group in Israel, and that's how I'm finding myself here. So thank you so much, and now enough with this blah blah, now we get to the real thing. Jeremiah 16. And I want to start verse 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom, of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall be when you show these people those words, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They have walked after other gods and have served them and worshipped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, so that no one listens to me. Therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers, and their will. There you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. And as I've said before, I'm a miracle. Because what was said to Jeremiah, yeah, some 2700 years, yeah. And actually, in his days, he himself went to exile, if you remember, yeah. And actually, this was a short exile, 70 years. But there is a multiple fulfillment of God's words. Okay, I don't have all the time in the world to explain the Hebraic thinking versus the Greek thinking. But while in the Greek thinking you place events, especially biblical events, on a line, linearic thinking, and you check when the event took place, check it out, yeah? The biblical Hebraic Jewish mindset is cyclical. And events are repeated more than once. Okay, so while Jeremiah spoke about relatively speaking, short exile, the Babylonian exile, I am actually a miracle. I am actually a descendant of the longest exile ever happened to Israel. 2,000 years of exile, you know, when the Romans actually destroyed the second temple and dispersed us all over, all, you know, throughout the four corners of the earth. So, let's continue. And look at verse 14. Verse 14, there is a beautiful shift from judgment, the judgment of God, i.e. the exile, into great promises. Great promises that you Gentiles are part of. So let's see. Verse 14, Jeremiah 16:14. Therefore behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land which I gave to their fathers. What a beautiful promise, which again is being fulfilled for the last 100, during the last 100, 150, 120 years, okay? And I am part of it. The fulfillment of those very verses that I'm reading to you. God is indeed gathering his people from the four corners of planet Earth back to their legitimate land, the land that he promised their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So let's continue in verse 16. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. Okay, before I continue. And beloved, actually, God sends the hunters, in my humble opinion, since the last 70 years. Many think that the hunters are now coming when anti-Semitism is rising all over, by the way, also on your land. Okay? But I think the biggest hunters were the Nazis. You know? Actually, without them, the state of Israel was not in existence, you know? Would not be, you know, coming to existence. So, God is using actually fishermen and hunters, I think both in the same time, yeah? Depends on the location, depends on the context. But he brings them all back to Israel. Isn't it beautiful? Come on, it's not a rhetorical question. I ask you to check if you are awake. Isn't it beautiful? We live in wonderful times, right? God's end time fulfillment, you know, of scriptures, yeah? It's so beautiful, right? Nope. Nope, nope, nope. It's not as romantic as we like to describe it from the pulpit. And I'm not here to tickle your ears. It's actually for a reason that God brings back the captivity of Israel, the captive of his own chosen people. And it's not such a nice reason. And let's read about it in the next verses. Verse 17. Again, Jeremiah 16:17. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. And first I will repay double for their iniquity and their sin. Excuse me, Abba, Daddy. Didn't pay enough in the exile for 2,000 years? They were pursued, persecuted. You know, just read, ask Mr. or Mr. Google about the Jewish history in the last 2,000 years. It's not a happy history. Persecuted with no kingdom, with no rulers, with no independence, with nothing. Neglected, abandoned, looked down at. So it's not enough? Nope. Because God's word says, and you know, by two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. Ezekiel 37, 38, and onward, yeah. Zechariah 14. God brings his people from captivities in order to judge them in the land that they defiled. Are you listening? And guess what? Now you are coming to the picture, my dear. Sisters, Gentile brothers and sisters, you are not exempt of the destiny of Israel. Let's see what I'm talking about. He is going to be glorified both among his people and their Gentiles. Let's read it. And first I will repay, I'm verse 18 again, double for their iniquity and their sin, because they have defiled my land and they have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable idols. Friends, if I am wrong in my commentary to you, you know, in what I just say to you, then why we have the next verse? My beloved Jeremiah understood much better than me what he was saying. That's why his prayer here in verse 19. Oh Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day, what, of happiness, mirth, gladness, rejoicing that you brought us back to the land? No, in the day of affliction, tribulation, great ones. The Gentiles, please understand, this is an end time context. Can I hear amen? I mean, do you agree with me? There are days to come that they will not say, blessed the Lord, you know, I'm paraphrasing with my bad English, yeah, who brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, but, you know, from the four corners of the earth. I told you, I'm a miracle, I'm just standing before you, I'm the fulfillment. So in this very context of God's fulfillment of his great promises to Israel, his chosen people, suddenly some Gentiles are coming with repenting hearts. Repenting hearts for what? Let's read it. The Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth, including the United States of America. And say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthless and unprofitable things. Well, In the past, when I taught this passage, I stopped there. And I said, oh, you Gentiles, you took my Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. By the way, when I say Yeshua, Jesus. Okay? Salvation. Can you imagine naming your child, you know, Salvation! Breakfast is ready, come! Never Jesus, he would not really respect his mama. Because he was not named Jesus, in Hebrew, of course, yeah? My friends, so whenever you hear me say Yeshua, salvation, this is Yeshua, Jesus, okay? So, beloved, I used to teach this passage, and I used to stop there and say, you stole my Jewish Messiah. You created a religion system called Christianity, which has almost nothing with the Bible. I still believe it. I told you I'm not here to tickle your ears. But friends, just day or two ago, when I was praying about what you should hear, holy, sweet people of God, God gave me another revelation. They repent in end time context. You agree? Gentiles are coming from the ends of the earth. Oh, forgive us, Abba, Daddy. Because we have inherited lies from our fathers. What kind of lies? Many lies Christianity inherited. But the biggest is the following. Will a man, verse 20, make gods for himself which are not gods? Now you must understand, in the Hebrew, there is no differentiation between little g god and big g god. There is no such a thing. In Hebrew it's Elohim, it's the same name. Elohim, the mighty one, the powerful, the all powerful one, okay? Elohim. So we already have a hint which explains what they repented for. They made other Elohim. Are you with me? The Gentiles during the times that I believe, my humble interpretation, you don't need to get to receive anything that I tell you, beloved people, okay, precious people of God. Throw everything you don't like. I mean, hopefully you check it first with the scriptures by the Holy Spirit to see if it's right or not. If it's not, I'm not perfect. Throw it to the garbage. Trash it. But what is good, take to heart, please. Okay? Because God can use even a donkey. So I hope he can use me as well today. Okay, beloved? Beloved, they, especially in Christianity, adopted many gods. Other gods. And look at the next verse which reveals to you which God is the God that you should believe it in. That's why I titled it, Who is Your God? The Gentiles and Israel in an end time context. This is the title of this teaching. Beloved, so, who is your God and whom is the real God in Scripture? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them. Whom them? The Gentiles. Don't leave the context. I will cause those Gentiles who said, you know, well, we believed in many other gods. We made unprofitable things as gods, yeah? The last verse. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might. And they shall know that my name is Yod Hey Vav Hey Yahweh. Okay. Ah, your name is Yahweh. Okay, big deal. Okay. Okay, it's okay. So Rami continue. No! Because God uses many names, quite a few names to describe himself in the Bible. When he wants to speak about himself, and by the way, check me. Check me later on, okay? We don't have the time to develop it, okay? But whenever God describes himself as the God who is the judge, who sits on his throne, it's Elohim. God, in your English, big G-O-D. whenever he wants to reveal himself personally to you. Intimately. Yeah? I love you. Let me come into you. I want a relationship with you. It's Yod Hei Vav Hei, Yahweh. Turn with me to Exodus 3. And you know, you all know the story of the burning bush. Moses, who thought that he's a big shot, raised in the palace of Pharaoh, yeah, for 40 years. No, it's not a short time. 40 years. And in the book of Hebrews, the New Testament, which is the greatest interpretation of the Old Testament, yeah, the New Testament scriptures tells us that Moses, even though he grew with all the spoilment, you know, of the palace, yeah, the big superpower back then of the world, yeah, he did not consider it. He considered more the sufferings of his people. You remember the scripture? Yeah? So he goes there and he sees, you know, an unrighteousness being practiced by the Egyptian, remember? And immediately kills him and buries him, thinking he's doing good deed. By the way, my conviction is that Moses knew already then that he's called to redeem Israel. I'm sure when he sucked his mother's milk, remember? I'm sure she did not tell him, oh, you are not my child. No, you don't belong here. It's only the daughter of Pharaoh, you know, commanded me to do it till you are weaned. No, I'm sure she told him, oh, Moses, I'm so sorry that I need to let you go soon, you know. Please don't forget your people. By the way, if you think I'm making it up, you wives who nursed, you know, not using the bottles, you nursed for 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. In the biblical times, you could nurse for 3 to 5 years of age. You know, when Jews start to educate their children, there is no illiteracy in Judaism because the Jews teach their children from the age 4 to start to read the Torah, books of Moses. Are you with me? So it's my assumption. You don't need to take it again, trash, whatever, it doesn't really... Reasoning with the Spirit, yeah? My agreeing with the Spirit. I am convicted that Moses knew who he was in God. So here he sees an unrighteous deed, action, and he kills the Egyptian, thinking, ha-ha, this is the beginning. I'm strong. I'm educated. After I'm coming from the palace, you know? Well, if you want to be used by God, you need to go through a theological seminary. Not Dallas, not Oral Robertson in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but God's theological seminary, which is called, big letters, capitalized, L-I-F-E. And subtitle, In the Wilderness. So Moses needs to be broken by God, needs to get his PhD in theology in the desert while shepherding for 40 years. And here is God in the burning bush revealing himself to the main redeemer of Israel before Yeshua showed up on the stage of history. Are you with me? Actually, the Jews expect second Moses to come to save them from their enemies. Moses is the character which resembles his foreshadowing Messiah, Yeshua. Are you with me? So look at what God tells Moses. verse 13 of Exodus 3. Are you there? Exodus 13. I'm sorry, 3, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? The God said to Moses, in Hebrew, Eheye Asher Eheye. I will be whatever I will be. Moses, my friend, you do not put me in your box. This box. It's too little to contain me. I will immediately jump out. Okay? The heaven and the earth cannot contain my glory. Why do you think that you can have all the Godhead and all the plans of God and exactly when Messiah will come and how the Antichrist will look? And relax. Please, be meek before your God. We are not such great shots. And actually, God's word says, whenever you think you stand, watch out. Paul said it. So here, I will be whatever I will be, or I am who I am, in your translation. Look at verse 15. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, are you ready? The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Back to Jeremiah 16. What was the problem of the Gentiles? They actually separated. Please listen. Wake up now. They thought they worship God Jehovah, the biblical God, but by their action towards the second description of his name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, they actually cut themselves from God mistreating Israel. Are you with me? We are Israel. We replaced those rebels, rebellion people. They rejected God. We accepted him. We are now replacing them. Replacement theology. Rubbish. Not biblical. Beloved, it's rubbish and not biblical because if it's true, then how can I trust God? I rebel against him and I'm taking it upon myself, okay? You are holier than me, okay? If you cannot identify what I'm going to say, please forgive me. I will take the shame. I rebel against God every day. Whether it's with my thoughts, filthy thoughts, whether what my action, whether it's with me treating my wife not right. Daily. Daily we fall. We are flesh and blood and nothing, and nothing but nothing makes nothing. Yeshua came to reveal himself to nothing people. Hopeless situation. So if it's true that God, because the people of Israel, by the way, it's not true that the people of Israel rejected him because the first church was Jewish church. There were no Gentiles there. They kept the Sabbath, the feast. I mean, it was a Jewish stream. Are you with me? And if you think I don't know what I'm talking about, you need to do and make some homework about the history of the church. First decades of the church, church history, all Jews. Till Cornelius, till there. You know what I mean? And the Jews actually treated Gentiles who came to the faith. They said, what? Are you out of your mind, Abba? I mean, don't you see that? I know they are dressed with nicely, but don't you? You can see beyond their clothes. Don't you see they are uncircumcised? Ooh, Abba. You remember this? My friends, and now when you see a Jew on the pulpit preaching, you say, wow, oh, isn't God good? Look, a Jew was converted to our faith. No, beloved people. It is you who were converted to my faith. And it's not pride. It's not pride. I'm here to serve you, to love on you, to bring you back to your roots. So you will not need to do like this. Oh, I'm so sorry. I inherited so many lies. I want to take few of the lies off your way. Are you with me? The biggest lie is to separate between Jehovah and who he is. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel. In the end time, beloved, many will come to, the Gentiles, the nations, will come and gather before the throne of Yeshua. And he will separate them. You know, like the shepherd separate between sheep and goats, remember? Friends, what were the bases upon which Yeshua decided, will decide, to tell you, you didn't do what I told you to do. Go to my left, you are a goat. Come to my kingdom, you sheep. When I was hungry, you fed me. Or you didn't, yeah? Depends who you are. When I was in jail, you came to visit, or you didn't. When I was naked, you came and clothed me, or you didn't. Are you with me? When I was sick, you came to. Beloved, whatever you did to those little of my brethren, context, end time context, to whom Yeshua comes back. With all honor, he does not come to, what is this name, Burnett, Texas. With all honor, Yeshua is not coming to this place. Don't look at me like this. It's the Bible. Yeshua comes to the Mount of Olives. Yeshua comes to establish his millennial kingdom in Jerusalem. Why? Because it says cyclical. He started there. He's going to finish there. Are you with me? Beloved, once you separate his brethren from who he is, Jehovah God, you already created other gods. Do you see what I mean? So I do not want you to behave like this, okay? When you see him. So, beloved, whenever God wants to reveal himself personally, he will call himself Jehovah God. Another scripture in same book, Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. Exodus 6:2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, remember when he wants to have personal relationship, he comes as Yahweh, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. Okay? I am Yahweh. I want relationship with you. Okay? Now, beloved, we know that we know, I hope that we know, that we are living in end time context, right? How can we prevent ourselves from being found ashamed and blushing all over, before the Almighty, for the Holy One of Israel, yeah? Number one, we need to start to refocus our minds, the direction we are looking at, from wherever, from Burnett, Texas, to east of here, to Jerusalem, to Israel. Because the God that you believe in cannot be separated, and he will never be separated from his people. His name is on them. Israel. El is God. Are you with me? Remember how he revealed himself in a very, very intimate manner to Jacob, changing his name to Israel? He let him struggle with him. Another picture of Yeshua coming to this filthy earth. Yeah, and struggling with Jacob and even letting Jacob squeeze a blessing from him. And what was the blessing? Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you quarreled with men and with God, and you sustained. God wants us to quarrel in a positive way with him, to ask questions, to be lively, not to be dead Christians, to be living Christians, living organism, not a religion system, but rather a living body where everybody function in whatever he was called to function. Are you with me? So number one, in end time context, you need to know that God, Jehovah, cannot be separated from Israel, which means you need to refocus on Israel, because there is your salvation. There is where the complication and the completion, not a retake, sweetie. The completion of your story will be, yeah, in the 1,000 years of reign of Messiah. I don't mean that everyone will live in Israel. No, but this will be the center of the world, like it was supposed to be in the beginning. Are you with me? And number two, beloved, there is a verse, or few verses. Again, we are dealing with end time, right? End time context. So let's take another one. Are you still okay? Not bored? Not sleepy? So allow me one more. In the Sermon on the Mount, or towards the end, the very last words of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, yeah? Yeshua says, in that day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, in your name we cast demons. In your name we healed. In your name we did this and that. And yeah. And he will look at them and say, Can I look at your ID, please? Your passport? I don't know you. Depart from me, you evildoers. How come, beloved? How come serious, maybe sincere even, people who cast demons not in the power of Satan, don't, you know, mistreat scriptures. I believe that they believed that they are doing the right thing. They had great ministries, healing or whatever, yeah? But yet, they missed the main thing. Because he says, I never knew you. He doesn't say, you never knew me. I claim, and I will be the first one to raise my hand, not to shame you, okay? But if you want to be courageous enough, I ask you also to raise your hand if you agree with what I'm going to say. Many in this place, in this one, Burnett, Texas, know Yeshua, but are not known by him. I want him to know me. But knowing in the Hebraic thinking is having intimate relationships like a husband have with his wife. Husband and wife's climax of love, the climax of the love, what is love between husband and wife, is to what? Become one. Am I right? What is the fruit of this climax of love between them? Fruits of the womb. Am I right? Children. In the Hebraic mindset, the natural speaks and points to the spiritual. So Yeshua wants to intercourse with us. We are his wife. Are you with me? He wants to come to know us intimately, which means we need to open up in all areas of our lives. He wants to conquer us like we like to conquer our wives. Are you with me? We want all our wife's attention. We don't want her to think about something else, God forbid, right? While being with us. We don't want her to be preoccupied elsewhere. We want to be united with her. That's how Yeshua wants to be united with us. How can we do it? Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And with this we will end this teaching. Luke chapter 10. Chapter 10, towards the end. Verse 38. Now it happened... verse 38. I don't have my glasses. That's why I did not see it. Much better. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. How many of you are awaiting Yeshua to knock on her door and say, I want to come in? I'm talking about this house. Soul, body, spirit. How many? Come on. Come on. Don't you want him to come into you? Come on, wake up. I want him. But how many of us are Marthas? Let's continue. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Yeshua's feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Serving. She was not preoccupied in front of the stupid box, TV, or now it's smartphone, yeah? She was serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, Adon, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Yeshua answered and said to her, Church, church, you are worried and troubled about many things. Jail ministry, healing ministry, feeding the poor ministry, a worship ministry, blah, blah, blah ministry, another blah, blah, blah ministry. God does not need you. He can do very well without your ministry. Did he need your help when he created the sun and the moon and the stars? Yeah, I don't think so. I think you need him each day of your life, or rather than he needs you. So relax from being so busy for him, so busy that you do not get into bed with him. How can we get into bed with him? One thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Two things in end time context. Number one, to know the real God, Jehovah, the God of Israel. Are you with me? You cannot separate him. Thus, you need to act accordingly, which means start to be little Yeshuas to the Jews around you. Remember? Because whatever you did to my little brethren, you did it for me. Are you with me? You have a Jewish doctor, a Jewish lawyer, a Jewish toilet cleaner, I don't care. Treat them as Yeshua would treat them. When their forefathers crucified him 2,000 years ago, and while nailing him to the tree of crucifixion, he said, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. They don't nail you. Your Jewish doctor maybe rip you off money-wise, or your Jewish lawyer, but he doesn't beat you or nail you to the tree, right? How easier it should be for you to love on him, on her. Are you with me? Start to act accordingly. Do you believe in Jehovah? But which Jehovah? There is only one, the God of Israel. And number two, prepare yourself to the biggest intimacy ever known between Yeshua and his bride. Sit at his feet. Let him get to know you. It's not enough to know him. It's more important when he knows you, which means he occupies every area in your life. The nice ones, serving, ministries, and the hidden ones that no one else beside maybe my wife and kids see or knows about it. No. This he needs also to conquer. This he needs also to occupy. Amen? Thank you.